NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right. Welcome into Hour 2. Time flies when we're having fun. Yeah, we're going to just keep it rolling and keep it going. This is Up on Game, as you just heard. That's TJ Houshmandzadeh. That's Plaxico Burress. I'm LeVar Arrington. It's been a good show so far. We talked about Deion Sanders, and we weren't able to get to another topic during the course of that first hour. We just were discussing DeAndre Hopkins and the situation that's playing out in the National Football League. Hopkins, with a now-deleted tweet, reads, "Never thought I would say this, but being in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL." After deleting his initial tweet, everyone, he tweeted, "Freedom? Question mark. In quotation mark." He later tweeted, however, that he has nine more years left in him. So it's kind of all over the place where he's going with it.
He thought about that salary he makes and that salary he would forego, and he had a change of heart.
No, LeVar, what he said was, by the way, I have 9 years in me.
Okay.
Insinuating that I have played 9 years, and the end tweet was, "Have a nice day," which basically tells people, listen, if I have to receive the vaccine to play year 10, peace, I'm out. I ain't getting the vaccination. And for me, with this whole vaccination thing with the NFL, it's a bad situation getting worse, because it's not Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley came out and said he wouldn't take the vaccine to play. But when you're talking about Jalen Ramsey's, and
that's different.
And Jalen Ramsey's and DeAndre Hopkins,
that's going to hit
talking
different.
About cornerstones of franchises, the superstar athletes who are unwilling to take the vaccine to play football, and I think that's going to create an issue.
Hey, Cole Beasley,
it's
out there,
definitely
like,
going to create an issue.
Try me. Cole Beasley is bumping his gums.
Beasley won't be on a roster.
That's what I'm saying. Cole Beasley is
100% agree with you.
Cole Beasley is expendable.
Is Cole Beasley not talking like he bulletproof?
Yes, he is.
Cole Beasley's talking like he's bulletproof, though.
But you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins, who was arguably the best wide receiver in football. So when you have certain guys taking their stance and saying, listen, I'm not going to take the vaccine to play, they're going to be like, who are you? You're the 48th guy on the roster.
Cole Beasley understands the political angle of this, and that's why he's going so hard. Because you got to think about this.
He want to be a martyr, huh? Yeah,
but think about this. About this, right?
Peace.
There are vaccinations that are mandatory for you to be able to go into a school. You can't go to school with certain vaccinations not on your card.
Right.
COVID is not one of them. So if anyone sits there and tries to say you have to, based off of that, you are creating a conflict of interest for those who look at it and say, well, if this isn't something that is being deemed necessary where the government says you better do it, you have to do it, it's mandatory.
Man, what is the NFL?
Hey,
it's an independently owned company.
It's a business.
Well, yeah, it is.
And
but it's privately owned. It's not publicly traded.
Their bottom line, dude. The reason this is a topic is this: the NFL comes out and says, if your team is responsible for a game being canceled, you are paying the price financially.
Everybody's paying the price.
Man, listen,
everybody.
Players won't get a game check. They not going for that. So if you are the one or the few that are preventing me from getting a game check, we got a problem. If I'm vaccinated and you're unvaccinated, we got a problem. Ooh. I don't want you on my team. We got to get rid of Buddy. Because if you're the cause of me missing a game check, eventually I'm going to put hands on you. That's just what's going to happen.
The NFLPA and the players union should be ashamed of themselves.
Because they're allowing – this is going to turn into
even
people against each other.
Dude, it's going to splinter a team fast.
It's probably already doing it.
These owners, they do not want to lose out financially. That's what will happen. The players, if I lose a game check because I'm vaccinated and I have a teammate that's not, and it happens more than once,
hey, look,
we got a problem. Hey,
but look. what are you going to say to the likes of a DeAndre Hopkins? What are you going to say to him?
Man, listen, hey, listen.
The team is not going to cut. The team is not going to release this man.
Hey,
what if you know what
Plexico,
they're doing?
You
to
know
get
there's
it.
Somebody on every team. It don't matter who you are. You can be the best player, the worst player. They coming
cost
at
me
you.
A check.
They coming at you.
But,
you and I both know.
But think
it.
About it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about from a player standpoint.
But think about this.
The organization is unwilling to part ways with a DeAndre Hopkins like or a Jalen Ramsey, and one of those guys test positive for COVID,
you miss
a game check. What are you going to say to that
DeAndre
man?
Let DeAndre Hopkins cost that owner money. They will part ways with him.
All right, but
ASAP.
But think about this. How many times have we covered up what somebody truly did to end up where they were truly at? You dig what I'm saying?
All the time.
Like, think about how many times we have covered for one another.
All the time.
There's an unspoken code that people would never know.
And now what they're doing is they're challenging that code. Because now I'm looking at my paycheck, whatever else is important to me in that life, whether it's a family, it's a kid, whatever it may be. And you're looking at your teammate, and that's my homie, and we tight, and we close, and we do have that unspoken rule. But, hey, bro, I know what you was doing. I know how you contracted that. At least I got a suspicion as to how you contracted that. And you costing me? You costing me? That's going to be the biggest issue with this.
Right.
That's going to be the biggest issue.
It's a bad situation getting worse, man.
It definitely is.
Hey, man, the same way Geno Smith got stole on over a plane
$300.
Dude, you think these dudes not gonna knock you out over thousands? Man, please. There's some dudes
in this chipper.
Straight tooth chipper.
Some dudes in these locker rooms, they really with it.
They about that life action. Yeah, they about that life. Yeah, hey, well, this is a story that will continue to unfold.
We just gave them free game of what's gonna transpire. So they better figure this out, because we basically just let them know what will transpire, and they know it, but they really don't.
Cat's going to be thumping.
Yeah, it's
all right.
A lot of pressure on these organizations, man. It really is.
They need to bring us in as advisors, man. We'll handle all these little – because I don't think they look at these – I don't think they understand the ramifications of what could come of it. Mm. I don't think they look into that or think about it.
It's a lot to have to do. It's unprecedented times. It's a lot to have to think about. And thinking about the times, let's transition into this topic of conversation. How about that? Jerry Jones, this is pretty interesting, guys. Now, a lot of people have their opinions about Jerry Jones. They probably base their opinions about the Dallas Cowboys off of Jerry Jones and how he handles things. Very, very straightforward guy, very to the point guy, holds no punches, gives no F's about how you feel about what he feels. He's going to let you know. And one of those things is holding steady to what he believes in and how to do things with the Dallas Cowboys. You will generally not hear him have any type of apologies or any type of feelings about regret as it applies to how he runs the star. Well, there's a difference here, and we have the sound on it. It was interesting. It came out, and to hear Jerry Jones speak on this, I would love to get the opinions from you, TJ, and you, Plexico, on what do you take from this admission from Jerry Jones?
I said, what in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about? He said, I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up?
Do you think you could answer Barry's question now?
I've never been able to know why I it up.
That was Jerry Jones with the quote. It was Barry Switzer being interviewed to have the job after things had fell apart between him and Jimmy Jones. The story has always persisted through the years that Jimmy Jones was the reason for the spectacular run of the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones. And so in this matter, and this, yeah, that's my dude,
set.
Capo. hey, we fly high. Hey, a lot of people won't realize that, Plex, but that was our year. We fly high. But anyway, so Jerry admits that he effed it up. And this is a first time ever and hearing Jim Johnson being the guy that created the three-headed monster with Emmitt and Troy and Michael Irving. They created a defense. They won three Super Bowls and looked as though they would be the type of franchise that would possibly have the type of run like the New England Patriots. He leaves. Jim Johnson, Jimmy Johnson, they have the disagreements, the back and forth, the butting of the heads. Jimmy Johnson moves on. Jerry Jones moves on. But Barry Switzer wanted to know why they were doing that. And all these years later, Jerry Jones comes out and says he may have messed that one up. What do you guys take from that?
I mean, he's just saying what everybody has said for decades, really, to be honest with you. Everybody knew that. He just came out and finally he comes out and just, I really screwed that one up. Well, with Jimmy Johnson, when he created the triplets with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Mike Irvin, but people forget, man, it was that trade when he sent Herschel Walker
yeah.
got the King's ransom, trading Herschel Walker
to the Vikings.
And they were so good because of the picks they acquired. And the offensive,
line.
Dude, that offensive line was unbelievable.
We're going to revisit that too, by the way.
That offensive line was so unreal that they just demoralized you from the outset. They play football. We're going to take your pride from you by running the ball down your throat. And when you try to bring extra guys in the box, now we're going to start throwing the ball. They really started that. They demoralized people with the run game, but everybody knew Jimmy Johnson. When he made that trade, that was the beginning of the dynasty with the Cowboys. I believe it was more of the trade than anything else because they acquired so much talent.
Hey, better late than never. That's what I say. Mm. But it took Jerry Jones almost 25, 30 years to come out and be honest with himself. He had a Hall of Fame football coach.
They ain't been back since Plexi.
Yeah, he couldn't coexist with. But you got to understand, even with Jimmy Johnson being a coach, people have to understand, but when playing football, he had Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith. Those guys don't really need good coaching to be Hall of Famers and to get to ultimately what they have become. But at the same time, as soon as Jimmy Johnson walked in the door and he had Herschel Walker, Jimmy Johnson said to himself, "said Listen, I got some guys at the University of Miami who are better than the guys that are playing here." That's what he's saying. So he bought his guys in, created a dynasty, and now 25, 30 years later, which nobody really cares, but Jerry Jones understands and knows that just exactly what he said. He messed it up. He had a great coach. There's no telling how many Super Bowls the Dallas Cowboys could have won in the 90s. And then they bought in Deion Sanders, who we were just talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So, listen, they had one of the greatest football teams of all time during the 90s. The reason why Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones couldn't coexist at that time, it was probably egos, and they were winning Super Bowls.
That's why I was a Cowboy fan. They was on Fox every Sunday.
Yeah, I don't understand what the problem is.
Well, I'll say this. Jerry Jones has been a part of every Super Bowl, regardless of if he wanted to acknowledge it in the way that he wants to acknowledge it. But he was the owner. He made the decision to bring in Jimmy Jones. He should have just
Jimmy
been
Johnson.
Why do I want to keep calling him Jimmy Jones?
Man,
Jim
got
Johnson.
Dipset on your mind.
The idea of him making decisions that led to that taking place, that's what ownership does. So to me, I don't think that he needed to feel any type of slight, like, oh, I'm not the reason. Like, it's like this ongoing saga of Jerry Jones before he leaves as the owner of the Dallas Cowboys wants to win a Super Bowl where he is the orchestrator of them winning it. But to me, he was the orchestrator when they got it before. I think he's created that. And, if you know his history, he's a football player. And us as football players, the one thing we don't like is when we feel as though our credit went somewhere else. We always want our credit and our just due for what it is that we do because of the work we put in. We don't like when people say they're the reason and you weren't the main reason or whatever your involvement is. Us as players, we have always been wired to feel if we did X, Y, and Z, then you better acknowledge X, Y, and Z. If you're only acknowledging X and you left out Y and Z and I can't overcome that narrative, okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to do it again. Yeah, right? I'm going to show you and I'm going to do it again. So that's going to be an interesting story, but it leads to this next topic that we're going to discuss after we get back from this break. Jerry Jones admitting that he was wrong. Does that mean the time is winding down for Jerry Jones? And then we get a peculiar quote that comes from Zeke Elliott that could possibly, you know, confirm that this is one of those deals where, look, it's time to show up and show out and get this done so that we can do this for the guy that is paying us all this money. So it'll be interesting to talk about what Zeke had to say and what that means for this Dallas Cowboys team going into this season. You're listening to Up On Game. That's TJ Hushmanzada, Plexico Burress. I'm LeVar Arrington. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back to discuss what Zeke Elliott had to say. I appreciate you. Shouts out to Dipset.
Yeah, you that Dipset you've been thinking about, old Jimmy Jones.
You know, they got that drip. Speaking of drip, TJ, what you got?
For endless hot water.
Drip.
Choose Navien. Mm-hmm. Get all the hot water you need for as long as you need it. Right now, save hundreds on a new Navien tankless water heater with local rebates. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com. Mm. That's tanklessmadesimple.com.
That's that drip. Okay.
Tell them TJ sent you.
Tell them TJ Hushman Zooters.
Hey, and I practice what I preach. As everybody knows that listens, I have one at the crib.
Okay, guys. So we were just discussing Jimmy Johnson. Jeez. Okay, I got it right. We were just discussing Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones.
Sounded weird saying
it
that.
It did, huh? Right? It just did. It's too many Jims and Jerrys and Joneses and Johnsons. It's just too many J's for me jumping out here right now. But Ezekiel Elliott, you know, he came out and he basically had some really, really interesting comments basically surrounding him saying, I need to prove something. You know, he's come in leaner this year. He's at, what, 218 coming into training camp? Uh-huh. Here's some sound from Ezekiel Elliott, and we're going to discuss this. How much is this on Ezekiel Elliott? But let's listen to what he had to say first.
You know, just having the year I had last year, don't really need more motivation than that. And, you know, I just know the type of player I am, and I don't think I showed that last year. And so, you know, I got a lot to prove. You know what I mean? I just made sure I didn't leave any doubt out there that I didn't do as much as I needed to do.
What's your reaction to this, guys?
Man, Zeke feels like, and people have been on Zeke's head about the year that he had. Dak goes down. The Cowboys had high expectations last year. And quite honestly, if I recall, myself and LeVar, we might have been on FS1 talking, should Tony Pollard get more carries than Zeke? Should they be giving Tony Pollard some of Zeke's carries? Should he be off the field more?
Yep.
And I yep. I didn't agree with it, but Zeke heard the chatter. The fact that he heard the chatter and he's willing to put the work in to say, nah, that's not going to happen again. I commend him for it because – a lot of guys, I don't read this, I don't watch TV. We all do, and that's the truth. And so he's trying to do his part. I'm not going to be the reason why we don't win. I'm not going to be the topic of conversation on TV saying, should Tony Pollard get more carries? I'm holding up my end of the bargain, and it starts in the offseason, and I'm committed.
Look, from a personal standpoint, you know, this is what I respect about athletes and professional athletes in general. Ezekiel Elliott understanding and recognizing that regression is not an option. He doesn't need any motivation going into the 2021 season based off of how he performed last season. You know, granted, Dak did go out, but people were expecting Ezekiel Elliott to step up and take the next step as far as leading that football team. That didn't happen. So he's going back to himself. Listen, he's put the work in the offseason. He's the lightest that he's been since he was at Ohio State, and now he's 218. You know what? I led you know, I had a career high in fumbles last year. I had 6 fumbles. And he had a career low in yards per carry at 4 yards.
4 yards, yep.
Listen, when I was playing, if you averaged 4 yards a carry as a running back, you were legendary. So him having a career low season at 4 yards is not bad. But for him to stand up, look himself in the mirror and say, you know what? Last year, what I did on the field is unacceptable. That's not who I am. So now he's ready to go into the 21 season. And for all you young players and professional athletes, whoever you may be, be accountable for what you can do, and take accountability, about the way how you perform. And he's done that, and I think he's going to have an exceptional season.
All right, so here's my take on this. When you think about hearing what Jerry Jones came out and said, he confessed, he admitted that he was in the wrong. His bell cow just came out in the media and did the same exact thing. He admitted that he was wrong. Something was not right with what he did and how he did it in last season. It was an admission. I liked it. I loved it. And here's why. If your big dogs aren't going to come to the table and take accountability for the shortcomings of where you were, how are you going to get to where you're trying to be, where you're trying to go? So now it comes back to this, right? I start thinking to myself, Jerry Jones was a part of a team and a dynasty. And you mentioned it, TJ. It was based off of how nasty that offensive front was. If you are to get back to where you're trying to go, you have weapons on your receiving core. You have weapons in your backfield. And you just paid your quarterback franchise money. If I am the offensive line of the Dallas Cowboys, I am listening to what the owner of the team who takes care of all of us, that makes you easily proud of being a Dallas Cowboy. I am listening to our lead back, our lead guy outside of Dak, say that he's coming in ready and he will leave no stone unturned and there will be no excuses on his part as to why he had a good season or if he's prepared to have a good season. This is now a direct challenge to the Dallas Cowboy offensive line. You have been much maligned.
Yes.
You have been downgraded because for the longest time, for up until the last year or so, we have talked about in the media how this offensive line is the catalyst and the reason why they are a championship Super Bowl win now caliber team. And that has been chipped away. It has eroded away to the point of where we're saying, is this offensive line even good enough to be starters in the National Football League at this point? Are we at a point in Dallas where they have to blow this thing up? They don't blow it up. In fact, they award an injured quarterback a franchise valued contract, and you have a running back on your team with a franchise caliber contract. Oh, and you have a receiver with a franchise caliber contract as well in Amari Cooper. What are you going to do? If y'all don't win, we're running out of time. You add a missing piece. You add key pieces in free agency. You add key pieces in the draft to your defensive side of the ball. Jerry Jones is clearly showing that he is giving it everything. The man said, I will do anything to win this Super Bowl.
When your best players step up and show that accountability publicly, we all got to follow suit. I mean, it's just no other way around it. We all got to follow suit.
I just think that when a guy comes out and takes that type of accountability, because he already got his bag, he don't have to put himself out there like that. He could be like Leon. Leon don't take the blame on his own. Leon knows that it's everybody else on the team that got to do what they need to do too, right? Leon don't date. Some of the cats ain't going to catch that reference. But let's go to trending and let's continue this conversation after trending. Ralphie, what we got, man?
Well, Major League Baseball is on the field right now at Wrigley Field in Chicago. The Cubs hosting the Arizona Diamondbacks, and Chicago biding in the bottom of the first inning. It's still a scoreless contest. Next game will get started about 4 o'clock Eastern time. That's what the Yankees playing at the Red Sox, the first day of the Olympics in the books. U.S. team action, plenty of it. The U.S. softball team, a 2-0 win over Mexico. They're 3-0 so far in this tournament. The American women's water polo team open play against host Japan. No problem for the U.S. 25-4. They win that contest. Women's soccer lost earlier in the week to Sweden. Today, they made up for it, beating up New Zealand 6-1. The final score, men's volleyball open play with a sweep of France. The first gold medal going to China's Qian Yang in shooting. China's already won 3 gold medals and a bronze. So far, the U.S., well, it's Saturday. We're having a donut.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Okay. Thank you.
But speaking of donuts, we'll take it to guys who are not a donut.
Okay.
Plenty of filling going on in this show.
Oh, wow.
It is Hup on Him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love it, Ralphie. I got to be honest with you. I get pumped up every time you bring us back from trending.
It's almost like I'm a verbal version of that CBS college football music.
Well, to me, it's almost like you're like Captain Caveman, but like better in like sports radio form. You know what I mean?
TJ, just look at LeVar as I say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, we're so close.
He loves it.
We're so close.
He loves it.
Oh, my God.
I know.
We're so close. Oh, we're so close. All right. Pause. Let's wrap up this Zeke Elliott topic. And if y'all didn't understand what just happened there, you know, go to our podcast. Check it out wherever you can subscribe and get broadcast that, you know, up on Game. I've made it very clear that song almost single-handedly shaped the way I played football on Saturdays in Pee Wee League and then on Fridays in high school, because I vowed to myself that one day they would be playing that song going into the game or going to a break, and they would be showing highlights of me. That's a true story. That song right there, yeah, it makes the hair stand up on my neck.
You can just reference the podcast.
Yeah, you know? Just reference the podcast. Yeah, you're right.
Catch it there.
Man, let's move on. Let's move on. Like, this Zeke thing. Do y'all have any final thoughts on the Zeke Elliott deal?
No, I mean, for me, it's simple. I'm going to hold myself accountable. I want everybody else to do the same thing. Very simple. Let's get it. That's basically what he's saying. And so they realized when Dak went down, wow, how much he really means. Because Dak was the butt of the jokes. Is he worth this? Is he worth that? And when they didn't have him, he was worth every penny that everybody said he wasn't worth.
You good? You good, Plex?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right, well, then let's transition over to another pro.
Hey, man, watching this 3-on-3 basketball in the Olympics, it's really different. You make the shot. You don't even check again. You just take it out the hoop and keep playing.
Man, listen, I just found out this morning that 3-on-3 basketball is an Olympic sport. Like, what is going on?
Dude, if you
how do you qualify for this?
I don't know.
You got to get 3-on-3 and go out there,
dude,
and win.
Like, they used to have a hoop it up. They don't even have to hoop it up no
You
more.
Make a shot, and it goes straight through the hoop, and they keep playing. You don't even check it up again. You just keep playing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work. Not where I'm from, that ain't going to work.
It's been interesting. We got 4 TVs on right here, and we're watching some old school Lakers, Sixers championship finals. But the rest of it is all Olympics. But
3-on-3 basketball.
Let's transition over to, speaking of basketball, the Last Dance reference. There was a simultaneous, or we'll say synchronized, tweeting of a photo of Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan by Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. My takeaway from it, immediately, Last Dance. What say you guys? What type of message is Aaron Rodgers sending with that? Because I think it means I'm coming back. I'm going to report on time. I'm going to play. But this is it. So you might want to come with me or whatever it may be, I don't know, but Devontae, whatever it is, I'm just letting you know, this is it. What do you guys take from it?
When you put that picture up of Scottie and Michael, or Mr. Jordan and Mr. Pippen.
There you go.
Mr. Air Jordan.
It literally, right. To me, this is the last dance. This is the last year we going to play with each other. Let's make it memorable. That's when I first see that picture, that's all I can think of. Now, the question is, will one or both be gone? That to me is a question. Davante Adams' contract talks are broken off. Are they broken off because you know Aaron Rodgers will be gone? Or are they broken off because they're not giving you what you want? Or is it a little bit of both?
That's an act of solidarity, man. Them putting them pictures up together.
To me, it sends a mixed message. I really don't understand what it means. I understand that you guys are referencing the last dance between Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, but is he insinuating that, you know, they were a great duo and, you know, the last dance and we're going our separate ways, or I'm coming back to play with you this season? Is this going to be our last season together? So I don't know what it means, but what it means to me, with Davante Adams trying to negotiate a new contract and all of a sudden the contract talks have broken off, what it says to me is that, listen, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers this year. Davante Adams does not want to sign a long-term deal with the Packers.
Not if 12 ain't under center. Hey,
because you know what? He's not Davante Adams if Aaron Rodgers is not throwing him the football. He know how Jordan Love looks in practice. I don't want to be here playing wide receiver with that man. That's what it says to me. Aaron Rodgers is going to go on and not be the quarterback for the Packers this year, and Davante Adams is going to try to rejoin him next season wherever Aaron Rodgers is. So what it says to me, it sends a mixed message that, you know what, Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers, we're breaking up. That was the last dance. I'm not going to be your quarterback this year. Davante Adams has not re-signed a new contract, and he's going to go where Aaron Rodgers is next year as a quarterback. That's what it says.
So basically, Aaron Rodgers ain't playing. Davante Adams is going to play this last year with the Packers, and we'll join
see you on the other side. That's exactly what it means to me.
No way. That's a great take, though. I mean, I if that prediction comes to light, I need to know what you got going on over there where you're living. If that happens the way you just explained it, that is ridiculous.
But when y'all better start listening to me.
When he says that, though, it makes a ton of sense. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play this year, the Packers, I mean, don't spite Aaron Rodgers. Do what's best for the organization. You have to get something for him. I can see wherever A-Rod goes, Davante, I'm a free agent. I'm coming with you.
Hey, do you think that the Green Bay Packers are not willing to give Davante Adams a contract that he wants? Who would turn that down?
So A-Rod is already telling him we're going somewhere else.
Yes. Adams is going to get the contract that he deserves. The Green Bay Packers are going to give him everything that he wants to keep him in Green Bay.
Well, think about this, though. The cap is lowered this year. So everybody's doing one-year deals so that they could come back to the table when the cap goes back up based upon
what happened.
But
they know the cap is going up, and so
that he doesn't take that money, man.
Yes, you do. You wait. You're not going to give him a 1 year deal.
No. He's already under contract.
That's what I'm saying. So
he's
still
on his rookie contract.
But no.
He's under the contract.
No, he's not.
What is it,
dude? Davante Adams has been in the league, brother.
So second contract.
Yes.
Whatever it is, he's still under contract.
He's on his second contract, but for what he's done, he's underpaid. But he's already made it to it. He's going on his third contract.
Oh, well. Here's the point. The point is not what number the contract is. The point is are you going to give a short term contract and pay him a franchise tag for a 1 year deal, or are you going to give him a long term
contract?
It would be an extension. It would be.
He has 1 year left. They could franchise him, but
Or they could give him an extension.
It would be a multi-year extension.
Correct.
Yes.
So if he doesn't want the extension, it still plays in his favor to not do an extension, because you're going to be able to demand more money coming into next year versus this one.
Like, he signed, I believe it was like 4 years, close to $60 million, if I'm not mistaken. So if you do the math, that's just about 15 a year, 14 and a half a year. And so what receivers are making today, Devontae Adams is making 14 and a half a year. He's underpaid.
Does he become an unrestricted free agent next year?
Yes, he's unrestricted, but they can franchise him if they like.
I think, Plexico, your bold proclamation is pretty – I mean, that is interesting. I think they play this year together and they play it out. No, I think they play it out, and then this is the last, like, this is the last dance. Like, we are not coming back. I just don't see you.
That's happened already.
Yeah, but I don't see you putting out a Jordan Pippen, and y'all do it together, and you're done. Like, this is it. Like, we're walking off. Like, you're Scottie Pippen, I'm Michael Jordan, and we're done. Like, what, I'm leaving and you're staying? Like, I guess I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, maybe he's insinuating that.
Scottie Pippen's got to come back
without
Michael Jordan. Yeah, but they haven't. They ain't won no Super Bowl together.
They won't win one in Green Bay.
You can't compare yourself to the GOAT of GOATs in basketball and in sports, and you haven't finished it off with a championship. To me, I think there's a deeper meaning here. Let's go win a Super Bowl this year, and it's the last dance. This is the last dance. We get a Super Bowl or bust this year, because this is it. This is the last time we're going to dance together.
No, ain't going to happen. Not in Green Bay.
You're listening to Up On Game. That's Plexico Burress.
Ain't going to happen, boss.
With the bold proclamation of Aaron Rodgers has played his last football in Green Bay. You've heard it here first. That's an exclusive from Plexico Burress. I do not support or condone whatever the thoughts and ideas of one Plexico Burress belong to him and solely him. And for the purposes of this program, and we're just making sure we put that disclaimer
galaxy
out there. That's TJ Hushmanzada up on Game. We're going to come back and finish the show up. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
They want phone. Welcome back into the show. It's Up On Game. Time flies when you're having fun. As we wind down.
It's crazy that we're pretty much done.
Oh, no, we're done.
Man.
We're done. I mean, and apparently so is Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. If you missed anything during the show, make sure you go check out our podcast. Subscribe, Up On Game. You can get it wherever it is that you download your podcast. Yeah, leave us a star rating, leave a comment, you know, support. And the support has been amazing. And to everyone who has continued to support us, we really do appreciate all the support that you guys have given. TJ told you, you know, if you go get that Navian, make sure that you say TJ sent you. You know, make sure you get that nice little drip going. You know what I mean? And as far as Plexico Burress, well, he's I don't know. He's got some type of connection with Nostradamus. You know, I mean, we're going to call him Plaxodamus. You know, he seems to make some bold predictions, and he seems to be on point pretty much, well, most of the time. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know that I like it. I feel like I want to hate on you about it, but, you know.
I don't know if I like it.
Guys, you guys got any final thoughts on any of the topics today before we get up out of here? Any final topics? Jerry Jones, Zeke Elliott, Aaron Rodgers, Deion Sanders. We've had a lot of off-air conversation. I wanted to go into is Giannis the face of the NBA, but we ran out of time. We ran out of time.
No.
Yes,
so that is that quick of a conversation?
It's that quick of a conversation.
LeBron's still the face of the NBA. Kevin Durant's the best player.
For how long?
Until he retires.
Okay.
Yeah, LeBron, I would agree and say that LeBron James is the face of the NBA. I would agree.
Well,
and
I mean,
say that.
People are going
but
to
they,
the movie
there's
theaters.
There's a new Don in town. There's a new Don in town, and people will be making their way to Milwaukee to play with, take pay cuts and play with Giannis because they understand what kind of superstar that he is. He's an unselfish guy.
Very.
That seems to get along with everybody.
He's very likable. People
and
love him.
Listen.
Super
and
likable.
And all he needs is some guys around him that can shoot the basketball, and I think he'll be just fine.
That's probably their only championship, and that's
no.
Yes, to me, that's why I just don't. I think
yes.
It's going to be difficult. If he becomes the face of the league, it's going to have to be based off of more than just winning NBA Finals championships, because I think that might have been it for him in Milwaukee, at least. I just don't.
Hey,
see
when LeBron James retires from the NBA, who's going to be the face of the NBA?
I think that's a great question. I think that it's one that I don't know is easily answered. You know, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that's tough.
Hey, he's only 26. I mean, he's only 26 going into, what, his eighth or ninth season? He's only 26 years old. So
he's
I think
young?
He will be, the new face of the NBA.
I think this year's benefactors of the finals, both West and East.
With the Lakers going out in the first round, let's not forget that.
I think it was based off of injury, so
we were hurt.
It was just one of those. It was just one of those years where somebody was able to get.
Your pride is hurt.
Anyway, that's TJ Hushmanzada.
You're right about that as well.
That's Plexico Burress. I'm LeVar Arrington. We've had such an amazing time. It's been so much fun. Coming up next, Steve Hartman, Jeff Schwartz, they're going to come in. Obviously, the GOAT, you know, he comes in and he does his thing. So it's going to be interesting. Make sure you stay tuned in to listen to the things that he has to say. I'll be interested to see if he touches on any of the topics that we hit on earlier. So make sure you stay tuned in. This is Fox Sports Radio. You just been put up on
good game. Weekend, everyone.
Yeah, we'll catch
Peace.
Up with y'all next week. Later.